What is real, true repentance? Is it just a sorrowful feeling that you have? You feel bad for the sin that you committed? Maybe you feel like you wish you hadn't got caught. What is true repentance as it's defined in the Bible? Today we're going to look at that and understand what true repentance really is. Why do so few people actually repent? We'll look at that question also. And what will the results of repentance be? You'll be set free from the burden of shame and guilt and bondage and slavery to sin. Listen in as we understand more about repentance. Welcome to the 1 Year Audio Bible Podcast. Today is March 18th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week, we are reading from the New Living Translation for the Old Testament and for the New Testament. Exodus 33, 17 to 23. The Lord replied to Moses, "I will indeed do what you have asked, for I look favorably on you, and I know you by name." Moses responded, "Then show me your glorious presence." The Lord replied, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you. For I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. But you may not look directly at my face, for no one may see me and live." The Lord continued, "Look, stand near me on this rock. As my glorious presence passes by, I will hide you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and let you see me from behind, but my face will not be seen." Luke 3, 1 to 22. It was now the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius, the Roman emperor. Pilate was the governor over Judea. Herod Antipas was ruler over Galilee. His brother Philip was ruler over Iturea and Trachonitis. Lysanias was ruler over Abilene. Annas and Caiaphas were the high priests. At this time, a message from God came to John, son of Zechariah, who was living out in the wilderness. Then John went from place to place on both sides of the Jordan River, preaching that people should be baptized to show that they had turned from their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. Isaiah had spoken of John when he said, "He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, 'Prepare a pathway for the Lord's coming, make a straight road for him. Fill in the valleys and level the mountains and hills, straighten the curves and smooth out the rough places, and then all people will see the salvation sent from God.'" Here is a sample of John's preaching to the crowds that came for baptism. "You brood of snakes, who warned you to flee God's coming judgment, prove by the way you live that you have really turned from your sins and turned to God. Don't just say we're safe, we're the descendants of Abraham. That proves nothing. God can change these stones here into children of Abraham. Even now, the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to sever your roots. Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire." The crowd asked, "What should we do?" John replied, "If you have two coats, give one to the poor. If you have food, share it with those who are hungry." Even corrupt tax collectors came to be baptized and asked, "Teacher, what should we do?" "Show your honesty," he replied. "Make sure you collect no more taxes than the Roman government requires you to." "What should we do?" asked some soldiers. John replied, "Don't extort money, and don't accuse people of things you know they didn't do, and be content with your pay." Everyone was expecting the Messiah to come soon, and they were eager to know whether John might be the Messiah. John answered their questions by saying, "I baptize with water, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater than I am not even worthy to be his slave. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He is ready to separate the chaff from the grain with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, storing the grain in his barn, but burning the chaff with never-ending fire. John used many such warnings as he announced the good news to the people. John also publicly criticized Herod Antipas, ruler of Galilee, for marrying Herodias, his brother's wife, and for many other wrongs he had done. So Herod put John in prison, adding this sin to his many others. One day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my beloved Son, and I am fully pleased with you." Psalm 61, 1-8. O God, listen to my cry. Hear my prayer. From the ends of the earth I will cry to you for help, for my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the towering rock of safety, for you are my safe refuge, a fortress where my enemies cannot reach me. Let me live forever in your sanctuary, safe beneath the shelter of your wings. For you have heard my vows, O God. You have given me an inheritance reserved for those who fear your name. Add many years to the life of the king. May his years span the generations. May he reign under God's protection forever. Appoint your unfailing love and faithfulness to watch over him. Then I will always sing praises to your name as I fulfill my vows day after day. Proverbs 11:16-17. Beautiful women obtain wealth and violent men get rich. Your own soul is nourished when you are kind, but you destroy yourself when you are cruel. I want to speak to you today from our reading from Luke chapter 3. And in this chapter, we are introduced to John the Baptist and the mantle, the anointing that he walked in was he was preparing the way for the coming of the Messiah. How was he preparing the way? He was calling the people to repentance, to turn from their wicked ways, to turn from their sin. And that if you have repented of your sins and you've turned to God, then to get baptized as a sign that you have repented. And in Luke chapter 3, starting in verse 4, there's a quotation from Isaiah. And I want to read that passage to you from Isaiah chapter 40. This is a prophecy about a future prophet from Isaiah chapter 40. And John the Baptist is the fulfillment of this prophecy. So here in Isaiah chapter 40, starting in verse 3, here is the prophecy about John the Baptist. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now, when it talks about mountains and hills being brought low, this is a shadow picture. Mountains are indicative of pride, high places, that when we hold our head high in an arrogant, prideful way, this is saying that the mountains will be leveled and the valleys will be brought up and everything will get leveled out. So what does it really mean to repent? Is it just that you feel sorry that you did something wrong? Not at all. I want to look at what this word means first in the New Testament and then in the Old Testament. Now, when John talks about them repenting of their sin, that word in the Greek in the New Testament is metanoi, and it means to change one's mind. To change one's mind for the better, to amend with abhorrence of one's past sin. So it begins with a change of mind, a change of thinking, but it doesn't stop there. In the Old Testament, the word repent in the Hebrew is sub or shub, shub. And that word means to return, to turn back. So it's something that you're doing. It's an action. That if you were walking in a certain direction and now you realize, oh, I was going the wrong way. I'm going down a blind alley. So you turn around and you go back in the opposite direction, to turn back, to come back, to return. So repentance has to do with a change of mind, a change of heart, and a change of behavior. John the Baptist talks about this change of behavior as a proof, as a test proof that you really have repented in your mind and your heart. And he says in Luke chapter 3, verse 8, prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say, well, we're safe, we're descendants of Abraham, or we're safe, we have attended the First Baptist Church for 50 years, for three generations, or we've attended the Foursquare Church for two generations, for 45 years. This means nothing. For I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these stones. And so the crowds ask him, well, what should we do? And John tells them, he gives them examples, specific concrete examples. If you have two shirts, give one to the poor. If you have food, share it with those who are hungry. And then corrupt tax collectors came to be baptized. Teacher, they said, what should we do? And he tells them, collect no more taxes than the government requires. So don't line your own pockets and take the extra for yourself. And it's a person who has repented, the evidence is going to be seen in the change in behavior and in lifestyle. It won't just be, it begins in the mind and in the thoughts. It continues on in the heart. And then there's a change in behavior. So as another example, if you or I, if we have had a root of bitterness or unforgiveness towards somebody, maybe a family member, a difficult family member, and we haven't spoken to them for a long time, we've basically canceled them and we have unforgiveness in our heart, then if we allow the Holy Spirit to bring conviction to our heart and we repent of our own bitterness and unforgiveness towards that person, and then we begin to pray for that person, it's pretty hard to stay mad at somebody that you're praying for. And really, what happens is your own heart begins to soften and to change towards that person, until eventually the possibility can be that there could be a restored or a reconciled relationship, that you might reach out to that person and ask for their forgiveness for you holding an offense against them. There's no guarantee. The other person's heart needs to be prepared and softened as well. But this is an example. Another example is Zacchaeus, the tax collector. He climbed up in a tree to see Jesus as he passed by. And Jesus said to him, I'm going to have lunch with you. So Zacchaeus is so delighted and overjoyed. He says, for those people that I robbed, I'm going to pay you back double what I took from you. Now that's a sign of real repentance. The change in behavior. He's not going to be corrupt anymore. He's going to repay more than what he took from people. So why is it that so few people repent? This is a question I've asked of the Lord a lot. Why is it that so few people actually repent? It's different than I feel sorry, I got caught with my hand in the cookie jar, or I feel sorry, or I feel bad that I yelled, or I lost my temper, or whatever it is. Repentance is, again, it's a change of mind, change of thinking, change of heart, and change of direction, change of behavior. Why is it that so few people actually repent of their sin? Part of it is a hardened heart will prevent people from repenting. And also, the biggest sin of all is pride. The pride of self-righteousness. I'm okay. I don't need to repent. I'm fine. Thank you very much. And the pride keeps us blinded to our sin. But when we repent of our pride, then that wall comes down and all of a sudden you're able to see all the other sin that was hiding behind the wall of pride. So I just encourage you today in your quiet time with the Lord, ask Him, Lord, would you show me any sin in my life that I need to repent of? And you know, if you ask Him, He'll show you. He will. And He's probably not going to get a big, huge, long laundry list of, you know, 25 or 30 or 50 sins. He might just deal with one thing at a time. But ask Him, ask the Holy Spirit to show you your sin so that you too can repent and be cleansed and get set free and continue to follow Him. Have a blessed day and we'll see you tomorrow. Shalom.
Vish Mareka Yayeh Adonai Panavilaka Vikuneka Isa Adonai Panav Hileka Vayaseleka Leka Shalom.
The Aaronic Blessing from Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26. Adonai bless you and keep you. Adonai make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Adonai lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.